Morning, everybody. Let's start off with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for a new day today. Thank you for your many blessings to us that we could gather in this way. And also, Lord, thank you for just who you are and what you've done in each one of our lives and what you continue doing in our lives, Lord. And Lord, I pray that just be with the rest of the service. Just give me the words that you would want me to speak. And just pray the blessing for the rest of the service here. Amen. Yeah, so I'm going to be talking a little bit about joy and what joy is. I thought it was a little bit funny that talking about joy and it's rainy and dreary outside, but I think we'll find out that joy doesn't have anything to do with your circumstances in life. So a couple talking points that I have that Caleb had asked me to share about is, you know, first one is, what is joy? And then the next one is, who should be full of joy? And then the last one is, God is the source of our joy, and indeed he is our exceeding joy. Like Caleb had said earlier, like Galatians 5:22, you know, it says, lists joy as one of the fruits of the Spirit. And I actually found out a lot more about joy studying this and getting ready for this than I had kind of known before. And something I was thinking about, or just, you know, that I found out when I was studying, was happiness versus joy. And I think sometimes that gets a little bit, becomes a little bit of a gray area, but it is very different, happiness and joy. A really good quote that I really liked was, happiness doesn't bring joy, and joy isn't the byproduct of happiness. Happiness is everything to do about your situation in life. You know, we can be happy about something good happens in our life. We get a pay raise, or, you know, let's say right now I could use a new truck. I'd be very happy if I got a new truck. But that just lasts for so long. It brings me happiness, and all of a sudden it just, the next struggle in my life comes. I don't go back to thinking like, oh, I have a new truck, I can get through this. No. Joy is what we need. And joy is found within our heart, and it's just through Jesus we have joy, and he gives us that joy. And it's just, when we find joy, you know, it's filled with a comfort. There's a comfort there, and it's there's a peace there when we have that joy. And it just doesn't matter what the situation in life we go through, we have that joy. Joy is an attitude of our heart and our spirit, and it comes from following Christ and being a believer of him and just, you know, fully committing our life to him and pursuing a Christian life. And that's what it comes from. The scripture I wanted to read is in Luke 5, starting in verse 17. It's about Jesus healing the man taken with palsy. So Luke 5, starting in verse 17, it says, "And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering, said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And the next verse is, it's one of the most important ones here in the in the scripture it says, and immediately he rose up before him and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. So I had to think back to the many miracles Jesus performed, and you know, I think immediately, like, these people were happy that they were healed, but I think in the long term, that's something that happened in their life that they will never forget, and they were filled with the joy that only Jesus could give them. And I truly believe, you know, it obviously doesn't say a lot about these people the rest of their life, but I think they were never the same again, and I think they had that joy that Jesus had given them, and he had, you know, touched their life that way. And that's the same way with our life. You know, we have no reason to be not filled with joy. We have Jesus has saved us, and you know, he continues doing great things in our lives. Another situation I had to think back of, we had, you know, we spent 5 weeks or so in Greece working with the refugees, and I had to think, when there was five guys, they were from Iran and Afghanistan, and they would help. They would help work, and we worked alongside them every day for like 5 weeks. And they were Christians, believers. But I had to think back to their circumstances. They came to Greece, and they were not believers, and they were happy to get to Greece. But when they got there, you know, the refugee camp was just like, you know, way too many people. It was, the situation was not great, and it was not what they had, you know, been used to. So if they were, and we saw that a lot. A lot of people were just, you know, were not believers, and you could see that. They weren't very happy. But these guys, they had found Jesus, and they were following him, after him, very wholly. And you could see the joy on their face. It doesn't matter their circumstances. They were in some of the most terrible circumstances I've ever seen. And it didn't matter. They had that joy within them every single day. So we'll move on. I'll try to keep this moving here. And the next question is, who should be full of joy? Well, I think we kind of answered that already. Like, everybody, if we have our sins forgiven and we've believed on Jesus, we should be full of joy. The scripture in Romans 8. It's easy for me to reference Romans, by the way. I like, probably the most read book in the Bible I've ever read, so I enjoy Romans. But Romans 8, starting in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So I think we are commanded to be full of joy, and I had to think, for me, sometimes for me, myself, it's easy to come to church on Sunday and be full of joy and let that joy show forth. You know, it's Sunday, we get to go to church, and it's, you know, it's a great day. But then Monday morning comes around. Everybody like Monday? I'm actually one of those weird ones that I like Monday. But, you know, Monday comes around, and maybe we're just not quite feeling it. But that's sometimes when I found out, you know, during the week, sometimes that's when we're rubbing shoulders with people of the world that are not believers, and that's when we really need to let our joy shine, because you're going to pick up on that. People will see that. Jumping around a couple more scriptures here. I'm going to read a scripture in Psalm here. Psalm 100 is, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. You know, I think sometimes for myself, I think of Psalms and I'm like, okay, you know, like the Psalms 100 scripture, we've all heard that many times. For me, it's very easy sometimes just to skip over that. And recently in the evenings before the boys go to bed, I've been reading them, you know, Psalms and Proverbs. And I guess they've started like standing out to me a little bit more, just like just reading, really thinking about what I'm reading and studying these scriptures. Because if we actually went through Psalms and we lived out what these scriptures are, then our life would be, we would definitely show forth that joy in our life every day. And then the last question is, or the point is, God is the source of our joy. Indeed, he is our exceeding joy. And then going back to scripture in Romans again, Romans 5, starting in verse 10, it says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." So, if every day we wake up and we start the day and we think we've been reconciled by Jesus, by the Lord, and you know we have the privilege to rejoice in the Lord every day, and you know every new day we should look at that as an opportunity to be able to you know rejoice in Him and just let that joy He brings us, because that's the only way we're gonna have joy, is He brings it to us in our heart through his Spirit. And we have to let that show forth every day, and people will notice. You know, and I had to think of, and I've met many people that have that joy, and you just can't, they can't hide it. And we shouldn't want to hide it, actually. But, so that's kind of just what I had on that, covering those points there, is just, I guess it was a challenge for myself, is just, if we have that joy, and we have that joy, let's show it, and let's not try to hide it. I mean, we have a lot to show to the world here. But so thank you.
Well, good morning. It has been great to be here already. The worship service and everything has been great. Thank you for that, James, those points on joy. I'll be sharing a little bit on cultivating joy, what it is to cultivate joy. I have five different points here that I'm going to go through. I'll try to keep it in order here, might be jumping back and forth. I have quite a few scriptures that I'm going to be looking at as well. So just bear with me. So the first one, I'm actually going to try to kind of blend number one and number two together. The first one is cultivating the fruit of joy through prayer. And then number two is cultivating the fruit of joy by trusting God. So I'm going to turn to John 16 for the first one here. John 16:15 through 24. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me again. And a little while, and ye shall see me because I go to the Father. This said some of his disciples among themselves. What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me. And because I go to the Father, they said therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for the joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherunto ye have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. When I was reading through this, I was just thinking of that when he was talking to his disciples. This was just before he was captured and taken into be judged. So the disciples were wondering what it is that he was talking about. And then Jesus goes on to explain to them that it was him telling them of his being crucified, and they're going to be sorrowful, but the world's going to rejoice because they think they have taken away the one that was threatening them. They were feeling threatened. But after he rises again, they're going to find joy. And through prayer, that's another thing that as I was reading here, there's the passage where Jesus was in the garden, and he was praying to the Father for his disciples and for future believers. And I find that passage very, very comforting to know that Jesus back then already, he was praying for his disciples, and he was praying for each and every believer that lives today and back then. It's such an encouragement and a picture of Jesus interceding for us, and the joy that we can have through that, knowing that Jesus is always interceding for us, and he wants our best in interest. So there was 1 Peter 5:6-7. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that ye may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. You know, it is easy to, sometimes when things are going hard, maybe at work, there's a lot of difficult things to work through, it's easy to see the negative. But to take a minute and just stop and reflect on all the positive, and to see, to take it to Christ and just pray that he would bring it out, where he wants to take us in that situation, and just lay it at his feet. And the joy that we can have from that, in knowing that he's in control. That was something, as I was studying through here, really popped out to me. Here's something else. We cultivate joy when we submit to God, give all our worries and anxieties to Him, and seek Him in prayer. God already knows all our worries, all our needs, and all that, but He wants us to bring that to Him. It is us coming before Him, seeing our own needs, and recognizing them for ourselves. He already knows it, but through that, it's humbling ourselves and allowing Him to fill us with the joy of Him. Let's see here. So that is for 1 and 2, and then move on to 3 here. Cultivating the fruit of joy through the Word. I'm going to turn to John 17 for this. John 17, 13 and 14. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them my word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And he's talking, he has given us his word, and in his word we can go and find peace and joy. No matter what life circumstances are bringing, it's also, let me see here. I'm going to read Psalms 119. Psalms 119, 11 through 16. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimony, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in the statutes. I will never forget thy word. And that just a picture of going into the Word of God and just reading it. I find so many times you go read through a passage, later on you read through again, and there's new stuff that stands out. And it's always a joy to learn, be continually learning that. And in His Word, we can find the peace and the joy that that He has for us, and to always be there, knowing that He's in control. So that is what I have on 3. I will move on to number 4 here. Number 4, cultivating the fruit of joy in difficult circumstances. I am going to turn to Romans 5. Romans 5, 1 through 4. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. I like the picture here of, you know, if we put our faith in Christ, it is, we're trusting God with our life and surrendering to Him. And in that faith, we can find joy. It is the ultimate place where we find joy, is in God, and find that hope. And also in those tribulations, if we really stop and take take the time to learn what God is teaching us in those times and to dig into His Word and be in prayer, I have found is that's where joy comes from. And it's staying in His Word. Then also, Matthew 5:11-12, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." When we run into problems and difficulties, it is hard to have joy sometimes. But if we understand that through the hard times, it builds endurance and hope, that we can see joy in the trials and be thankful for what they're teaching us. If we would never face trials, we wouldn't experience the joy of what God wants to show us, to use us for. And ultimately, God has our best in mind. And through those trials, holding on to Christ, holding on to that joy, and that is all I have on 4. Now I will move on to 5. Cultivating joy by choosing to rejoice always. I will be reading in 1 Thessalonians 5:15 and 18. Or 15 through 18. "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Pray without ceasing. That was one that I didn't dig into it as much, but I was like, what is he talking there, praying without ceasing? And I think in those times of trials, when it's hard to just continually press in. There's times where we want to give up and slack off, but to continually press in and to allow Him to fill us with joy, to endure those times and to have that joy after He reveals to us what He has. Then also Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." How can we rejoice always? It is by recognizing that it is a choice when our circumstances threaten our joy. We can choose to let worry and fear come in, or we can choose to trust God and be thankful for the trials, because it will bring new meaning to the situation, and to be thankful. That is another thing I was thinking as I was reading, studying for this, is out of a thankful heart flows joy. When we can be thankful for everything, no matter the good or the bad, but be thankful for everything, from that will flow joy. And then also, had to think of Job, the trials that he went through, losing everything, yet holding on to his faith, and finding joy in that, knowing that God is in control. And another one that I had to think of was Noah and Moses. I think of Noah. I mean, he's building the ark, and there's all these people that are mocking him and stuff, but yet he had committed his life to Christ, and he was willing to do whatever it took I'm sure it was hard at times, but he found joy in knowing that he was on the path that God had him. Then I just want to wrap it up a little bit here with a question, try to summarize all this together. How do we cultivate joy? Cultivating, think of cultivating springtime, even this time of year, farmers are out there working the dirt, turning it over, getting it ready for new seeding. And how do we cultivate joy in our life? I believe it's by staying in the Word of God and praying, staying connected with Christ and our relationship with Him. When you think of cultivating, it is to work the soil and continually allow Christ to do His work in our hearts and seeing our every need for Christ in every part of life. And most importantly, staying in the Word of God and prayer. So, that is all I have for you today, and thank you.